He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Barry, we would need 2 hours, really, to get through everything that's happened since yesterday's show. So I'm going to talk, you know, as fast as I can. The NASDAQ is probably the story right now. You had two big earnings reports last night, Amazon and Apple, and both of them kind of fell flat, which has happened many, 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 many times over the last couple of decades with those stocks. And Apple's even given up its leadership as the biggest company in the world to Microsoft. And as a consequence, the NASDAQ's down 60 points, no big deal, 15,387. The NASDAQ hit a new all-time high yesterday. The S&P is down 11.11, so four ones. If you're playing the lottery today or Hialeah, the dog races, horse racing, whatever, the spread, S&P at 4,585, it hit a new high yesterday, pulling back a little bit today because Apple and Amazon are both members of the S&P 500. The Russell 2000 is flat. It couldn't be any flatter, 22.98. Crude oil is down 35 cents to 82.46. Gold is down $26 to 17.76, a very well-known year, 17.76. On gold, silver is down 32 cents to 23.81. And the 10-year yield up 3 basis points, 1.60. We're going to finish the week down, though. The bond market had a decent week this past week. And Bitcoin is about flat right now, down $300 to $61,231. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, the last two decades, Barry Kite, almost that long, a CFA in the business, covering a lot of individual stocks, and grew up in the business. So hopefully we've got a little bit of wisdom and a little bit of knowledge to share here today. Before we get into today, I just want to wrap up yesterday really quickly. The Dow was up 240 yesterday. The big story yesterday was the NASDAQ up 212 points, hitting a new all-time high, 15,448. Wow, I remember back in 2002 when it got down to about 1,300 or so after the 79% sell-off. And now here we are back at 15,448 on the NASDAQ, down a little bit today. And two stocks that really stood out to me yesterday, Lucid. We've been talking about Lucid. I said, you know, if there's going to be one that's probably second place right now other than the big automakers, it's going to be Lucid. Lucid goes up yesterday like 46% because, you know, their first car came off the line. The first customer took delivery of a Lucid. I don't know where it is, what city, you know, but that was enough to send the stock up like 47% or something like that. It's up 3% again today. This is already a $63 billion company with one car now out there driving around somewhere. Right. But I think that Lucid's going to be a player. And the other one that stood out to me yesterday was ChargePoint, which goes right along with the whole theme of electrification of our automobiles. You got to charge those things. And all of a sudden, ChargePoint has caught a little bit of a bid the last couple of weeks, and it's been charging higher with Tesla, the other battery companies, and obviously Lucid. So, okay, now we'll move on to today. Last night, right after the close. Amazon missed by $2.81. And on the surface, you would say, wow, that's a huge miss. But look, Amazon is, what is their market cap today? Are they still a $2 billion company or $2 trillion company? Let me just look really fast. I think they are. No, $1.7 trillion. $1.7 trillion is all. Just a baby compared to Microsoft. Amazon has actually come back quite a bit from the open. It's down 3.8% today. And, of course, Apple was in line $1.24. Their revenue was the miss. Mm-hmm. And I heard a common theme through both of these companies yesterday. There's no problem on the demand side.
Right.
Right? The consumer, no problem. Apple has more demand than it can meet right now. And I would say almost the same story on the Amazon side. The problem is with the supply side. And you can add another word to supply and call it the supply chain side. With Apple, it's getting the parts that they need to meet the demand for the new iPhone 13. And with Amazon, it's just constraints, wouldn't you say, Barry, across the board, almost everywhere.
Well, and you think about Amazon, right? And you know, and we'll go backwards. But the with Amazon, they're across. They have all of the issues that all of these other companies, especially in consumer goods, have had. They have a little bit of all of it, right? They have whether it's shipping, whether it's they're hiring workers, right? Their labor costs are going up. They move physical goods, right? So you got supply chain issues. They're kind of, to me, I thought about the word today. It's transitory. It's probably the financial word of the year, easily, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But, and like you said, for Apple, in both of them, it's not a, demand. If it was a demand problem, then that's an issue. In reality, They Apple has some of these to a certain degree, anytime they roll some new products out, right? I mean, whether it's a line out the door at the Apple store, sometimes it's tough to just get it, even if they have them, right? In this instance, they're just, having trouble, getting the parts to make the whole thing. To me, those things will shake out over time. The important part is people still want their products.
Yeah. This is, I would say these sell-offs and worry is transitory. Mm-hmm. Every time these stocks sell off, these big FANG stocks, they always come back. I mean, there will be a day when they don't come back, but that's going to be more when the demand starts to dry up.
Yeah.
And not this that's happening now.
Yeah, and the one part, reading through, to me that's very interesting and I think it's big to look at is look at the businesses that they've created over the years, like Amazon services, right? The web services. I mean,
that's the biggest part of their business.
Yep, and that was positive, right, compared to estimates and previously. And then also same thing with Apple. I mean, a bunch of their business is starting to become, used to always be about the iPhone. How many iPhones you sell? I mean, that was what it, yep. I mean, that's what the analysts were focused on. Now they've got wearables, service. I mean, they've got a whole ecosystem, yep. Right?
Subscriptions.
Right.
And so apps. Well, and another thing I would challenge our listeners to do, take a pencil, piece of paper, or do it on your laptop, and write down the 25 best growth large cap companies in the world today. And how in the world could you leave out Amazon and Apple? If you're looking, look, it's no different than a baseball general manager that wants the 25 best players on his team. And if you're putting together a 20-man roster or a woman roster, 25-man roster for your portfolio for growth, how could you not include those companies? So, I mean, I think we're in sync here, Barry, you and I, we're not changing our opinions, and we're not going to sell Apple and Amazon out of our best stocks now, large cap growth companies. I mean, yes, they took a little hit, but I think here's the key line from Tim Cook. He says that supply constraints are getting worse, but demand remains strong. So they'll work out the supply constraints. And, you know, I was listening. They have an interesting guy. He's a CEO of a large trucking company, and he was talking about the supply constraints, which begin at loading the ships, unloading the ships, the railroads, the shortage of truck drivers, everything. And it's just one of those cycles. And, you know, eventually it does work out. Now, when we come back, I think we might have pegged what Facebook's new name would be. I think we were on to it. And we're just going to, and, you know, the stock is coming back. That's another one. Would you rank it as one? We'll talk about that when we come back. Is it still one of the best large cap growth companies in the world today? Like it or not. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. And the one big tech stock that is performing well today is Facebook, the company that someday we'll say formerly known as Facebook. It looked pretty ugly about 4 days ago when it went below its 200-day moving average. Looked like it could fall off the cliff. But, I said anytime these stocks do this and they look ugly, it's been my experience that that's a good buying opportunity. And, it's recovered quite a bit. It's up, while the others are down, it's up 2.2%. Now, it's a mere baby at $900 billion, too. But closing in on a trillion, it's pretty
it's been
hard.
There before. Yeah.
Yes, and you know there is an ETF that has the metaverse. I just learned about this today. The symbol is Meta, and that's a problem for Zuckerberg because he can't have that symbol because that's the new name of Facebook is Meta, M-E-T-A. Are they changing the symbol? I didn't see.
Yes, they're changing the symbol. I don't have the exact symbol in front of me, but changing it as of December 1st.
Okay.
And so technically the company's name has changed and they showed a sign up, in Silicon Valley yesterday and a symbol.
There it is. MVRS. Yep. MV. So we got to change everything in the app. It's a pain. Thanks a lot. Sucks.
We're in the middle of drafting an article and, so a couple of things got to change. But if you go to Seeking Alpha now and type in FB, it still says Facebook Inc.
Yes.
So we're rolling with that.
Okay. So other stocks in the metaverse, The one that is being called out by a pretty good Seeking Alpha writer, he says it's a purer play on the metaverse, is Roblox. He says, this comes from a letter to investors that it's opened a position in Roblox, saying the gaming company has the ability to become a new being for human society. A new being. Okay. What is it? Almost like God or something like that. Ruling the metaverse, and of course there's Zuckerberg.
Yeah, they may be ruling the universe. Then they all play some version of Roblox. The 15-year-old plays a more sophisticated version, and then the young two. It is kind of a unique world.
Writer Tal Value pointed to Roblox as a better play in the metaverse space, calling it a good social platform that puts stakeholders' trust and security first. All right. Well, that's enough on the metaverse. We'll move on. But that is the new name, Meta, M-A-T-A. He's never met a controversy that he doesn't seem to get embroiled in somehow either.
Nice one.
So I think that's a good name that goes. Now, here's kind of a morbid story today. Here's a stock that's bolting higher today, Carriage Services. CSV breaking out. Look at the chart on CSV. And what are they? They're attributing, they have actually benefited from COVID. And, yeah, I hate to even mention what they do for a living, but, you know, I guess it's a sign of the time. They're a funeral and cemetery services. So in their conference call, they're talking about the deaths from COVID at an all-time high and how their stock has benefited, their company has benefited from that.
Yeah, and they may have had some pent-up demand, obviously, because, you know, I mean, we've had, clients who had issues as well, whether it was family members or what, but you couldn't have a funeral, right, for a period of time there. So you've got, some of these restrictions opening up other places. Well, now, we can, lay those to rest, in their proper
and
culture.
Here's their future guidance. All right. The company expects a strong finish to the year following a pickup in COVID cases from the Delta variant. Ah, great. All right. Now here's the IPO of the day. Solo Brands, which is DTC, Solo Brands, okay? This is, I've seen advertisements on TV for some of their products. They have these fire pits that are smokeless fire pits. I don't know where the smoke goes. I don't know if they're blowing smoke in the commercials. The smoke's got to go somewhere. I can't.
Put it on the coal-powered plants, then.
I've got to go to the metaverse to figure out where that smoke went. But they also have portable kayaks, Oru kayak, Chubbies apparel, and Isle paddle boards. Now, here's the comparison I would make on this stock. Yeti. This is the Yeti of this kind of outdoor recreation stuff. And this outdoor recreation stuff is booming because of the demand that COVID brought, people fixing up their houses. You can't even buy a boat. It's a two-year wait to get a boat because of the demand during COVID. That was one of the activities that you could do. You couldn't go stay at a resort and a hotel, but you could go out on a boat where there's fresh air, and you could socially distance if you had a big enough boat and all this and that. But anyways, Yeti was a big, big winner. So DTC, Solo Brands, I'm just going to check in it very, very quickly here, see how it's doing today. Boy, look at the spike yesterday. This is a fresh IPO. They have a direct-to-consumer platform. So we'll keep our eye on it because Yeti certainly has been a big winner. China Evergrande staves off default. Now, there's another one, that could be buried in the ground. This one relates to the cemetery. China Evergrande, which is getting close to being 6 foot under, to be honest, but it continues to make their bond payments. You know, they're scratching up enough money to continue those bond payments. They haven't defaulted yet, but I don't know. I think a collapse of Evergrande would be bigger than they're letting on. So this is a story that was on the front burner 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's
my
gone
favorite
to the
part.
They but it has. You go ahead.
Oh yeah, no. My favorite piece of the whole thing was that they asked the founder and CEO to basically pony up some cash to make the payment. Like,
ouch.
Could you imagine if they did that in 08-09? Like,
tell the
Bank of America CEO,
yeah,
hey, some of those loans, could we get some of that money,
yeah,
and we need you to go ahead and
that.
Pay that.
Okay, then a couple other stories here on the inflation front that came from earnings report yesterday. Church & Dwight, which is a big consumer company, kind of like Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble would probably be a better comparison. They're raising prices on 80% of their products. They're passing along the inflation that they're not going to absorb, but they're going to pass it on to the consumer. And the other one that reported, and they're not in a good segment right now, Texas Roadhouse. I would say beef is one of the biggest, recipients of all of this inflation stuff. They said commodity cost inflation. I mean, this is potatoes, peanuts, steaks, and every 10% inflation for Texas Roadhouse. That's not good because they can't really charge that much at a roadhouse. Anyways, this is Bill Gunderson and Barry Dividend. I'm talking about very kind. We're going to talk about big dividend payers when we come back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show on this Friday. Everything about the same. NASDAQ down 70. The Dow is down 50. The stocks that jump off the page at me so far today, there's not many. KLAC. That is one we own. That is a powerful chart on that stock after it beat earnings yesterday. That is a leading semiconductor equipment maker, very highly ranked in the Best Stocks Now app. Facebook jumps off the page at me today as one of the big percent gainers with the NASDAQ down. Church and Dwight, which we just mentioned, CHD passing, raising their prices on 80% of their products. This lending club, I don't know what is up with that. LC, that's the most explosive chart in the entire market today. Next to KLAC, lending club is LC. I don't know much about that, but I can kind of guess what they do, lending club.
Well, and they've
club.
Been and around then, forever, and it's just,
I
you know,
know
if you
they
look
have.
At the chart, check them out, you know, I mean, they were, it was a $126
stock.
Got
down to $4 last year.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you know, it's a lending club. Basically, all of us get together. Other people, you know, we have a little bit of money.
Amongst
we want
yourselves.
To get some interest on it, right? And these things blow up. You know, they were kind of created when interest rates were very low coming out of 08, 09, right?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, kind of crowdfunding, right? But
yes.
In times of crisis, right, especially with people, you know, the first thing you stop paying, right, is an unsecured loan.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my guess is, you know, they've fell off for years. And, you know, you mentioned this name, I think, last week or so, and I was actually surprised that they're still around.
I know. I am, too. And now it's one of the hottest stocks in the market. So I guess I have to do a little bit of digging. And then the last one that jumps off the page is another one of these battery stocks, and QuantumScape, QS.
Is it
they're the ones that want it. They're that solid state. They're the ones that are really pushing the solid state lithium metal batteries. And I've just seen a whole big, well, it's been a good 2 weeks for that whole industry with Tesla hitting $1 trillion.
Well, look at LAC. That's our, you know,
that's
same
done
thing
well
as yesterday.
Too.
Clack and Lack.
Clack and Lack.
LAC. That should,
you know, I used to listen to Clack and Lack. They did an auto fix it show, you and your muffler, and then it was click and clack, wasn't it?
Really? I don't
look at the chart. Oh, I just noticed that. Lithium America, LAC, we own that. I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah, they're,
okay.
I mean, they both were off the chart yesterday, and then today when you said clack, you know, automatically lack pulled up, and I'm like, still going strong today?
That's a better chart than clack, actually. Okay, I got to talk just for a minute. Three, four, okay, here they are. Here's the lineup that have reported earnings today. AbbVie, which their big drug is Humira. It was a spinoff from Abbott Labs. Their dividend yield is 4.7%. Exxon reported earnings today. Their dividend yield is, I think it's 5.2%. Let's see there. 4.7. No, it's 5.2 Exxon. 5.5 today now. 5.5, 4.7. Then I see Chevron in the news today, and they're right up there with a hefty dividend yield. Now, I could kind of see it in the oil stocks just because I think oil is probably, there's not much that's going to keep it from going to $100 per barrel. That's even predictions from, even Biden says it's going to be 6 months or whatnot before oil prices start. And the experts in the industry. So if you were going to pick one of those big dividend payers, I certainly wouldn't be AbbVie because there hasn't been any growth at AbbVie. And, you know, I knock all of these big dividend payers like AT&T and IBM, whatnot, because they have zero growth. But I think you could make an argument for Chevron, ExxonMobil, and the other one is Phillips PSX. They all pay big dividends, but they've been pretty flat over the years, okay, these stocks. But they seem to be in a kind of a sweet spot right now with the energy crunch and the demand there. I think oil's going to 100. So I'll just make an argument. We don't own any of them. I don't have much interest in any of them. But if that's your thing, a big dividend and some good prospects over the next 6 months or so, I think you could take a look at those stocks. Now, I did notice a very interesting, I saw segments of ExxonMobil CEO sitting, being grilled by AOC and, you know, that group. Look, I mean, the reality of it is we live here in on the Charleston Harbor. We have big freighters coming in and out of our port all day long. We have airliners flying into the Charleston airport all day long. Yes, you can take a big bite out of the cars. We have military here. I came from San Diego where we had aircraft carriers out my office window, fighter jets. You still have gonna, you're never going to, it's a necessary evil. You're never going to get away from needing fossil fuels. And for AOC to sit there, you know, wanting to get away from fossil fuels completely, I mean, that's not, she's not thinking through things very well there. You know what, that would just cripple the entire world and we'd be back in the horse and buggies, I suppose. But anyways, I found it interesting. And, of course, they want to go after them. And the other senator or congresswoman from New York, she was comparing them to the tobacco companies, that they've been lying to us. So what are you going to do, ban all fossil fuels? What would that do to the economy tomorrow? Today, no more fossil fuels. What happens tomorrow?
You're going to have to force China to do it also, number one, as the biggest emitter. I mean, I saw a great chart of coal yesterday in terms of, you know, what the expected coal usage is, right? And, you know, the U.S. has already minimized coal usage, but when, you know, you look at, you know, you look at China, China's not expected to curb any of its coal usage for you know, in another decade.
They're using it, you know, they're willing to give John Kerry something if John Kerry will say, okay, you can have Taiwan. They're using that as leverage. We will cut our emissions by 10% if you'll let us invade and take over Taiwan. But I more importantly than coal, what if tomorrow anybody caught using oil or a petroleum product is going to be fined $1,000? What would happen to the economy?
Well, we've got to get rid of all plastics, by the way.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the other. I mean, that's the, there's a there's
the. You can't go to the store.
Yeah,
the shelves are empty. Now, when I look, I'm a product of the 60s. And, of course, Joni Mitchell and Woodstock and Take Us Back to the Garden. They were trying to go back to the Garden of Eden, which is still kind of a utopia. Fantasy to go back to the garden and not have planes and all this and that. But you know what? You want to bring about worldwide hunger, poverty, you name it. Tractors that farm the land and everything. Anyways, that's my 2 cents on the situation with fossil fuels and oil. Just, you're not ever going to get away from them. Starbucks, I think Starbucks is getting hit pretty hard today.
Yeah, they reported at they got caught up in all the Apple and Amazon earnings yesterday. They were kind of the third name that reported all about the same time. And I don't even know if I actually saw what they reported, and not yesterday.
Down,
at least.
No, it got kind of buried in the news. But the stock is down 7% today, and that's another one. You know, coffee was like $1 a pound for the wholesale, you know, people like them. Now it's $2 1 year later. It's doubled the cost of the product that they sell, the cost of the ingredients for their product. And, you know, their earnings growth rate over the last 5 years has been minus 2% per year. So there comes a point where a best stocks now kind of peaks. We can't, Walmart did it maybe 10 years ago, you know, and eventually you just can't grow anymore, even double digits. They're looking at hopefully single digits. And now you're kind of a stodgy old growth giant of yesteryear. And, you know, about the only thing they can do is increase their dividend yield. They're at 1.7%. But I just think that Starbucks' better days may be in the rearview mirror. You know, they peaked at $126 per share last year, $124 billion coffee chain. Congratulations, you know, they did it. But I just think that, you know, they've probably maxed out as a stock, okay, as a growth stock. When we come back, I've got an interesting one that's tied to the electric vehicle industry, but not known. It's out there on the edges a little bit. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back.
You got to go the way you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. The Dow's been all over the place this morning. It's now up 30. The NASDAQ is holding on to a 62-point loss for the day, mostly Amazon and Apple. The NASDAQ hit a new all-time high yesterday. We got a lot of companies that reported today, so I would expect some pretty significant movement in the forecast of the S&P 500 for this year, next year, and the year after that. That's what the market's looking at. The market, we're sitting here reporting earnings of today and whatnot. The market is now looking to 2023 estimates and doing its best from listening to all of these individual reports that come in. And putting the pencil to it, to their models, and building it out to 2023 and even into 2024, what they think the companies will be doing at that point in time. And, you know, whether it's ever realized or not, the market trades on those unrealized expectations, right? I mean, those unrealized targets, it's going to trade on the expectations of what they will be. And so this will be an important newsletter today because I have a lot more evidence, a lot more reports that have now come in. We're probably halfway through earnings season, so take a look at the macro outlook today. And, of course, last week we took the big corporate tax hike across the board out of the picture, which would have had a very dramatic impact on the bottom line earnings going forward for the S&P 500. And for that reason, you know, I got rid of my hedges because up until a few days ago, that still remained a possibility. Now they're talking about the minimum 15% tax on, I think, 200 companies about, and I don't know, that's a harder one to figure out what impact that would have and who it would impact. And, you know, the measure that I would think it would have, I know it would have an impact on the S&P 500 because those are your 500 biggest companies out there. I'm guessing maybe a 5% overall impact to earnings. So, you know, not the end of the world, but definitely would hurt overall S&P 500 earnings. So we'll see. But today's macro outlook, we made a big purchase this past week. That's in the newsletter. And I made a couple of smaller ones in the ultra growth portfolio. That'll be very interesting. So I offer out 2 free weeks of the newsletter. Anybody who has not received it in the past, it goes out to all of our clients. And that's why our phones hardly ever ring from clients, Barry, because they know exactly what we're thinking about the market and, you know, why we're buying this or that and why we're selling this or that. And we also send it out to all of our live trading subscribers who use me and the team here to help guide them through what can be some pretty tricky times where your emotions want to get the best of you. But when you focus back on the earnings, you know, I try to take the emotion out of the equation. So get the newsletter this week at GundersonCapital.com. And then, of course, you know, the vast majority of our listeners, they don't have the time to. This is a very time-intensive thing. If you want to be really good at anything, I don't care if it's golf, I don't care if it's fishing, I don't care if it's painting as an artist, you got to really devote the time to it. And for me, it's more than a full-time job. When I get done with the show today, I'll be writing the newsletter and sending it out. So it never ends. But all of that writing of the newsletter and preparing the radio shows, Barry, it's all my internal research. I mean, it serves two purposes. It keeps me on top of what is going on in the market versus your casual financial planner at, you know, A.G. Edwards. I don't even know if they're around anymore. But,
right.
You know.
They might have changed their name, too.
Ameriprise or whatever that comes in and checks their messages a couple times a week, you know. That's the other side. That's the passive side of our industry. Very passive.
The asset gatherers.
Yes, and you know, taking them out for lunch and sending them. I could be addressing birthday cards all day, you know, or I could be looking for best stocks now. All right, that's your job. Get busy.
Right?
It's Joe's birthday today. He's our biggest client. Yeah. Anyways, two stocks that catch my eye here today. The first one is in the supply chain, Old Dominion Freight Lines. You know, how many times has an Old Dominion truck gone by me? A rock hits my windshield, you know. But this stock just keeps on chugging. It's one of the great stocks of all time. It was $33 a share 7 years ago. Today it's $341. It's a 10-bagger. If this was a tech stock, you'd hear about it all the time. It's been a 27% grower. The demand for trucking is not getting less. In fact, it's so strong right now, we're short about 80 to 90,000 truck drivers across America. I think they need to make those cabs a little more cushy, put some TV in there, some metaverse, and you'll get more truck drivers. But I would, they reported early. Look at the chart on Old Dominion. Okay, and the second one, because I've only got 30 seconds left here, it's tied into the electric vehicle, Aspen Aerogels, ASPN. They make a coating that goes around these batteries because these batteries can catch fire. But Aspen Aerogels technology also has applications to the hydrogen fuel cell technology and the carbon recapture technology. Aspen reported earnings, and that we own both of these stocks, by the way, and Aspen is hitting a new all-time high today. These are both, Aspen's an emerging growth stock. Old Dominion is more of an ultra, small-cap, mid-cap growth stock. Both very good companies. The whole idea here is to find the best stocks now, not yesteryear. So, Barry, keep your binoculars out, your ear to the ground. If you hear anything, I'll let you know. But we're always on the lookout. We have our lineup set right now. We're pretty happy with what we own. From time to time, we kick one out, put a new one in. But the idea is to not be passive in a very active world that's now moving to the metaverse. That's a whole nother world. GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.